Father, we thank you for revealing your will to us in the Ten Commandments. Father, we praise you and thank you because to you belong the glory and the honor and the majesty and the power and the wisdom and the strength for all eternity to all eternity. Father, you are the creator of the heavens and the earth. And Father, your name should be glorified among all the nations. All ethnic groups will bow down before you and worship you for all eternity. Father, we pray that as we listen to your word this morning or this afternoon, Father, we pray that your name will be glorified, that you will help us to not abuse or misuse your name. Help us not to take your name in vain. Father, help us to have the proper respect and reverence for your name, and help us to use your name correctly in a biblical way that will bring honor and glory to your name, to who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. So we see in Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, it reads, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." So the title of this message is "The Abuse and the Use of God's Name." Now, in the previous two commandments, we saw that God doesn't want any rivals. He's the only God in the human and in all of creation. And the first commandment says, "You shall have no other gods before me," because there is no other God in the universe. He's the only God to be worshipped. People make other gods, but there's in actual fact, no other gods in the universe. God will not tolerate any other gods if we serve any other thing instead of him. And then in the second commandment, last week we saw that God demands of us true biblical worship. We cannot make images of God and then use those images or those pictures or whatever it is to worship God. We cannot substitute God in any way and serve him by things that we have made. No, the Bible makes it very clear that God is unlimited, and God, we should worship God in spirit and in truth, by faith, not by sight. That's how we should worship God on earth. And then now in the third commandment, we look at God's name. And you might say, after listening to the first two commandments, "I think I'm on the right track. I don't serve any other gods, and I'm worshiping God in spirit and in truth." But when it comes to the third commandment, you might say, "Yeah, I'm not taking the name of the Lord in vain." But if you really look deep into the meaning of this commandment, you will see that each one of us are guilty multiple times of taking God's name in vain. In fact, we take his name in vain repeatedly, not only by the words that we speak, but by the lives that we live. This commandment deals primarily with our words, but also with our deeds. As God said through the book of James, what we read in chapter 3, that if a man does not sin by with his mouth, he's a perfect man. And we know that there's no perfect men and women among us. If you can tame your tongue, you're a perfect man. That's what James says. Jesus also said in another portion of scripture, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Do you want to know what's happening in people's hearts? Just listen to their words. In another portion of scripture, Matthew chapter 12, 33 to 37, Jesus said, "A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. But the wicked man," or the evil man, "out of the evil things in his heart, brings forth evil things." Jesus also said somewhere else that by your words you will be justified, and by the words that you speak, you will be condemned. As James chapter 3 also says, "With our mouths we praise God, we worship God. But with those same tongues and mouths, we slander, we gossip, we talk about behind people's backs, and we curse people even. And as James said, these things ought not to be so, brothers. These things ought not to be so. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, you shall know them by their fruit. You shall know them by your fruit. You cannot get good fruit from a bad tree and so on. Romans chapter 2, verse 8 to 16, Paul speaks about the Jews, and then he says to the Jews, the name of God is being blasphemed by the behavior of the Jews. Jesus said in another place, do what the Pharisees and the scribes tell you to do. Do what they tell you to do, but don't do what they do. And that is a terrible testimony. If people tell you, yeah, do what that pastor does. Do what he says, but don't do what he does. That is terrible testimony. So blasphemy, or the transgression of the third commandment, doesn't only deal with what you say. It primarily deals with your words, yes, but it also deals with your actions. If you deny Christ with your actions, you're also guilty of this commandment. Now, the scribes of many years past had such a high regard of God's name that when they copied the Old Testament manuscripts, whenever they came to the secondary names of God, like El Shaddai or El Elyon, they would stop and put their pens down, and then they would take a new pen and write carefully the name of God. That's what they would do when they deal with the secondary names of God. But then when it came to the principal name of God, the name of Yahweh, or Yahweh, how God revealed himself to Moses, they would put down their pens as they copy the manuscripts. They would put down their pens, go and wash their bodies, put on new garments, and then they would take a new pen and just write the capital, J-H-W-H again. And by this, they had such respect for God's name that they wouldn't even name the word Yahweh. They had such respect for the name of God. They had such reverence for the name of God. And that's what that was the custom of the scribes of many years past. If you compare that to our society, in Western society, what you see on television, you see the contrast. The name of Jesus, the name of God, are being blasphemed almost on every television show. Not all of them, but you cannot almost watch a movie without the name of God or the name of Jesus or the name of Christ being used in vain. But you might say, yeah, but I don't do that. I don't use his name in vain. But if we pray without thinking, or if we pray and use God's name without concentrating on his name, in other words, if we use the name of God thoughtlessly, we also are guilty of this commandment. So I'm not suggesting that we never use the name of God as the scribes did, but we should examine ourselves and see if we have the same kind of respect for the name of God that they had. So in this message, I want to deal with six things. You will see on your notice sheet, first of all, what is meant by the name of God? Secondly, which name should we not blaspheme? Thirdly, the abuse of God's name. I'm going to go into detail how people do that. Fourthly, the solemn warning. We saw that in the commandment. Fifthly, we stand guilty, but we have a name. And then how to use the name of God carefully and in a biblical way. So first of all, what is meant by the name? If you know anything about the Bible, you would know that the name of God stands for the character of God. It stands for his attributes. It stands for his person. It stands for who he is. That's it. Whenever the Bible speaks about do not take the name of God in vain, it means don't take the character of God in vain. And therefore, you would know that you can actually not separate yourself from any divine attribute of God. So it's not only about speaking, but it's about behaving and talking and thinking in a way that is contrary to the character and divine attributes of God. So the name always stands for the attributes of God, the character of God. That's very clear if you read biblical scholars about this as well. I see many times we get that analogy in our cultures. And many young people, if you talk about their mother, they are very indignant. You cannot talk about my mother in this way. Or you cannot use my mother's name in this way, or my father's name in this way. And why do people get indignant or angry about people using their mother's name and out of context? Because, isn't it because their name stands for who they are? And that's exactly also what's happening in the scriptures. If you take the name of God out of context, or if you use it wastefully, because that's actually what it means. To take the name of God in vain is literally what it means. You're wasting the name of God. You're not putting it in the right context. You are abusing the name of God. That's what it means. So if we look at the first of the third commandment, then we see that the name stands for the character of God. If you do a study of the Bible, you would see that God has many names. God has more than 30 or 40 names in the Bible. There's even more than that. I'm not sure exactly how many. But if you look through the Bible, you would see the name usually tells you something about who God is, about His character, about His attributes. When I was preparing for the sermon, I listed about 25 names of God. So, and I'm just going to quickly read through them. And then you will see, when I read that name, I will give you the meaning as well. The Hebrew name or the Greek name. El Elyon, it means God Most High. Yahweh Shama means God is here. Immanuel, God is with us. El Shaddai, God Almighty. Yahweh Rapha, the Lord our healer. Elohim means God. Yahweh means the self-existing one. God who is, I am who I am. You said, I am who I am. El Roy, the God who sees. El Olam, everlasting God. Yahweh Jireh, the Lord who provides. Yahweh Nisi, the Lord our banner. Yahweh Shalom, God our peace. Yahweh Raha, the Lord our shepherd. Yahweh Shabaoth, the Lord of hosts. Yahweh Chidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Yahweh Mekodishkem, the Lord who sanctifies you. Jesus Christ, meaning Savior, Anointed One, the Word, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Comforter, Sanctifier, Father, the Holy One, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. These are just some of the names. And if you look at those names, you know immediately who this God is. He's the Savior, He's the Holy One, He's the Righteous One. He's the God who's there, He's God with us, all that stuff. So if you look at the names of God, it makes it very clear. It reveals the attributes of God, the character of God. So we can conclude that when God commands us not to take His name in vain, it means we should never misuse any of His attributes, any of His characteristics. It's not about just saying a name out of context. It means misusing His mercy, misusing His grace, misusing His goodness, wasting it. That's what it means. So if you look at in this way, you will see all of us, we stand guilty before God every day because we are abusing God's goodness towards us. And the second point then, which name should not be taken in vain? God has so many names. Now for the people of God who were delivered from the bondage of Egypt, it meant the name Yahweh, or the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because that's the way God revealed Himself to the Israelites, as I am who I am, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob appeared to you. So in the context of the Israelites, it meant the name of Yahweh. It meant that name. But when we look in the world today, we see people everywhere don't have that knowledge. They don't know the name of Yahweh. They don't know the name of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and so on. But every culture and every ethnic group in the world, they have a certain kind of knowledge about the Creator. And usually when you go around the world, when missionaries go to tribes have never heard the gospel, there's a name for the Creator. And usually that's the name that are many times abused. In the Zulu culture, Nkulunkulu, you know that name. Or in Sotho culture, Modimo. In Thailand when I was, Prajao. In English, God. Afrikaans, God. German sound same name, God. That's the name that they use for the Creator. So if we say here, God says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Usually, it applies to every culture. It applies when you misuse or abuse the Creator, the name for God in your culture. It's not only the name Yahweh or Jesus or Christ. Although that's the principal name that's being abused and misused in Western society. It's the name of God, Christ, and Jesus. You'll see, I've never watched a television show, I've never watched a movie where they call to the name of Allah. Never. They will not abuse that name, but they will abuse the Christian God or the only Creator, God, Jesus Christ. Sometimes people refer to God in a comical way. They wouldn't refer to God directly. They would say the man upstairs or something like that. But if people speak about God in that way, they're actually abusing God. They're making fun of the Creator. And that's also a form of misusing, abusing God's name. So then thirdly, let's look at how God's name is abused every day. Like I said earlier, to abuse God's name, to take His name in vain, literally means to waste His name, to waste what He stands for, and to not have the proper respect and reverence for God. So first of all, what we probably find all over is using the name of God as a stop word or as an expression of surprise and astonishment. People start talking about something, then all of a sudden, to make the story really come to life, they would call upon the name of God just to get your attention and to make this story now really real. That's taking the name of God in vain. And then people that are listening to this story, because it's such a dramatic story of something terrible that happened, would say, oh my, and then they will use the name of God in vain as an expression of surprise or astonishment. We see this everywhere, on television mostly, on the radio stations. We hear it from family members sometimes. I remember when I was a teenager, the name of God being blasphemed in the high school is just something else. Tabocha, you probably would know that. People using the name of God in vain is a daily occurrence in the high schools and primary schools and the colleges and even higher up other institutions. So that's the first common thing. And people, the shocking thing is that people don't defend God's name when God's name is being abused. It's not just the fact that God's name is being abused. The shocking thing is that Christians, when they hear God's name being taken in vain and abused or being misused, they keep silent about it. And that's the next thing. If we hear God's name being abused or misused, being taken in vain, and we just make as if we didn't hear it, and there is an opportunity and you have the time to correct that person, you don't do it, then you're also taking God's name in vain. You're also then guilty because God's name was being blasphemed and you just let it go. So keeping silent or to stand indifferent when people misuse His name is also a sin. That's what Romans chapter 1, 28, 31 says. All these sins that the people are doing, and then it says you are approving the things that they do, and therefore your judgment is actually also you're worthy of getting judgment as well. And then fourthly, Fourthly is, we can take the name of God in vain by profanity. And we can say wicked living, wicked words, and foul speech. So if you curse or you use cuss words, you hurt yourself and you use a bad word. Or somebody, you drove in the vehicle and somebody just, like we see many times, somebody just goes over a red light and you, one of those bad words come out of your mouth. That is actually also transgressing the third commandment. Or wicked living, because that's what we saw in Romans chapter 2. The name of God was being blasphemed by the Jews because they didn't live according to the commandments of God. If we live wickedly, we are blaspheming the name of God by the way we live. It's not only by the things that we say. Or blasphemy, irreverent talk about sacred things. If you view Jesus not as God, just as a prophet, just as a very good moral teacher, you are blaspheming the name of God because you are not having the proper reverence and respect and worship that God actually deserves. That is actually a form of blasphemy. Also, irreverent talk about sacred things, about the Bible. People make jokes about the Bible, or about Jesus, or about characters in the Bible. Irreverent talk about Bible characters, or about the Bible, about sacred things, is also taking the name of God in vain. Then it becomes closer to Christians. Singing Christian songs without meaning it. We don't do that so many times. We sing hymns, we're thinking about other things, we're saying, Jesus, we give you our all, but you're not really meaning it, what you're singing. That's actually taking the name of God in vain. Or praying without passion. You're praying, but your prayers become a form. You're just going through the motions. It's like brushing your teeth in the morning. You just say your prayers before you go to work. You just have to do this thing, this chore. That's actually a habit, but there's no passion. There's no life in that. You're taking the name of God in vain by praying as Christians, by worshipping God, singing songs to Him, not doing it with your whole heart is taking God's name in vain. Other thing that I've really been convicted of is using the name of Jesus at the end of your prayers, but not understanding what it means. How many times we pray, and this the end, because the Bible says we must pray in the name of Jesus, pray in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, amen. But it's just a habit. We have completely divorced in the name of Jesus what it actually means. Because the name of Jesus means what Jesus stands for. His character. We're playing in the name of Jesus saying, God, if this accords with your character, let it be so. But otherwise not. So we've been Christians for many, many years and we pray, but we're just going through the motions in Jesus' name. And many times we've seen churches, they use the name of Jesus as a kind of magical formula to so-called cast out demons. In the name of Jesus, they would say. And they shout the name of Jesus as that would have some kind of magical power if you just pronounce those words. That's taking the name of God in vain. Because you're divorcing it from what it actually stands for. The name of Jesus stands for the person of Jesus, the character of Jesus. And then what is prohibited here is also hypocrisy. Serving God, not serving God sincerely and wholeheartedly. Jesus said of the Pharisees, they serve me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Jesus said of some people that claim to be Christians, they would say at the end of world history, Lord, Lord, we have cast out demons in your name. We have prophesied in your name. Then Jesus would tell them, I never knew you, you workers of lawlessness. What was the chief sin? They used the name of God in vain. They used it for their own ends. Serving God not sincerely and wholeheartedly, hypocrisy, in other words, are condemned by this commandment. or then sacrilege, meaning a violation or misuse of what is regarded as sacred. I remember one deacon once told me, he was in a Dutch Reformed church before he got converted. He was a deacon and they used to serve wine. When they serve communion, they use wine. And they used to tell me after the communion service, he would take that wine that was left over and he would just drink everything. He basically use it as, you know, as if it is nothing. He would use the wine that was used at the communion and in a bad way. That's sacrilege. Holding the ordinances of God in contempt. And so on. That sacrilege is prohibited by this commandment. Or then false oaths. Making godly promises to God without keeping them. I remember many times people, you're in a difficult situation in your life. You had a near-death experience. Or you were wrecked in a car crash. And then you have some consciousness and you say, God, just get me out of this. Just save me from this. Give me back my health and I will serve you with everything. You make a promise. You say to God, I will do anything that you tell me to do. I will go anywhere where you send me. I will work for you. I will serve you. Just save me. And then the months go by and the years go by. The decades go by and you've forgotten your promise. You've started living comfortably. Don't care about the kingdom of God, God's glory. You've forgotten your promises. You've made a false oath. You've taken the name of God in vain. If you've made promises in your life, I know I have. 22 years ago, I was in a desperate situation because of the wicked life that I've lived. And I made a promise to God. I said to God, I will serve you wholeheartedly and I will serve you till the end of my days. And by God's grace, I've not done it perfectly, obviously, but I hope I've kept my promise. And I told God, whatever you want me to do, I will do. If you've made a promise like that to God, and it's not unbiblical, it's not something stupid that you promised, it's not against God's will, you should keep your promises that you've made to God. Also then, making a rash oath to God to do something horrible and sinful. We have a biblical example of that in Jephthah in the book of Judges, where he said to God, if you give me the Ammonites, if I go out against them and I conquer them, the first thing that will meet me, whatever it is, I will offer as a sacrifice. God gave the Ammonites into his hand, and the first thing that he met was his own daughter. His own daughter. What did he do? It was a stupid oath promise that he made. He should have repented of that. What did he do? The first thing that he did was he made a stupid oath. The second thing, he actually obeyed his oath and he sacrificed his own daughter. If you have made any rash oaths that are unbiblical, that are sinful, that are stupid, repent of those oaths that you've made to God, those promises you made to God. If you say to God, you know, if you give me a child, after 20 years, I'll offer him on the sacrifice. I mean, that's a stupid oath. You shouldn't follow through with such kind of an oath because it's unbiblical. So, if you've made a rash oath to God, or some people say, God, I will serve you. I will never marry. I will just serve you till the end of my days. That is something not really biblical. I mean, it's not really, you can repent of that because if you are not able to live up to that promise, you can ask God to forgive you. Also then, false prophecies. We see that many times in churches. Telling people that God told me to tell you. And I've seen that many times in churches. I've experienced it my own. God told me, God spoke to me in a dream. And he told me to tell you, this is going to be your wife. I was in Kwasi Sabantu, I remember. When a guy came to me like that and said, I think this woman, she's going to be your wife. God told me. That's very shaky stuff. Or God told me you must go to China. Or false prophecy. People thinking that God, they have a direct line with God. And whatever God's telling them, God has now appointed that person to be God's spokesperson. But it has absolute, usually it has no reference to God's kingdom, the advancement of his kingdom, the building up of his church, evangelizing the lost, going to unreached people groups. It usually has to do with being more successful, being really rich, and fulfilling your own potential and having a great healing ministry. That's usually what their prophecies are about. People, that is taking the name of the Lord our God in vain. False prophecies, and we see that all over the churches. People are thinking God is giving them words, that's taking the name of the Lord our God in vain. Also then, wrong exegesis of scripture, wrong understanding and explanation of the text. Now, misquoting scripture, using scripture out of context, misunderstanding the Bible. We can all be guilty of that. I know I've been guilty of that. You can be a diligent Bible student and still get it wrong. It's possible. There are many churches, pastors, who study the Bible, but they are misunderstanding the text. But wrong exegesis of scripture, wrong understanding, and then explaining that wrong understanding, that's actually taking the name of the Lord our God in vain. Also connected to that is wrong hermeneutics, wrong interpretation of scripture. You think this interpretation is the correct one, but you haven't really studied the Bible. You haven't studied the whole book in its context. You haven't interpreted scripture with scripture. You're taking things out of context. You're misinterpreting scripture. And you're preaching that, you're teaching that wrong interpretation, that's actually taking the name of the Lord our God in vain. That's why it's so important to study the Bible. That's why some people study for 10 years the Bible before they start preaching. Because you don't want to misunderstand, misinterpret, and misapply the text. And that's the next one. Wrong application of scripture. You can understand the text. You can understand what the Bible means. You can understand how to interpret the text, but you can misapply the text. And that's also then taking the name of the Lord your God in vain. If you're teaching that. And then some people do that unintentionally. We can all do that. But some people do it intentionally. They're twisting the scriptures for their own ends. And we see that all through the churches in the world. They're using scriptures completely out of context, twisting the scriptures, telling people, for example, they have holy oil here, holy water, holy handkerchiefs, praying for them, selling them. This is the application of this text. And then enriching themselves by using the word of God. That's taking the name of the Lord our God in vain. That's serious business. May God have mercy on pastors like that who use the Bible to get rich. I've heard stories of people in, I think it was Bloemfontein. They said, one guy said, if you have failed in anything in life and you want to have a good business, become a pastor, you'll get rich. People enter the ministry to get rich, to make a fortune. That's why they go into ministry, because they know it's profitable. And that's, if you in the ministry because of this, then you're taking the name of the Lord your God in vain. Then also, using scripture to justify sin. Last year on a trip when we were going from, Queenstown to Durban, we stopped there at one fuel station. This bunch of teenager college students came out. They were all drinking. I thought I'll start evangelizing one. The one guy said, start talking about the Bible. And yeah, I have the Bible. And the Bible says we can drink and we can be drunk and so on. Using the scripture to justify this sinful behaviors, taking the name of the Lord our God in vain. We see that all through the churches. People using the scripture to justify homosexuality. People using the scripture to use marijuana. They use the scripture. God smokes. Smoke going out of his nostrils, Psalm 22 or whatever. They use the scripture to justify their sin. that's taking the name of the Lord our God in vain. Then also, not confronting people and helping people lovingly who misunderstand, misinterpret, misapply, and mishandle the word of God. If you know of people like that, who are in serious error, and you have the opportunity and the means to help them getting a better understanding, use that opportunity. Teach them the way of God. If you have the opportunity, if you have the means to do that, be involved in that. Confront people, help people to understand, not misuse God's name. Then also complaining about God's providences. God allows difficult circumstances coming our way, opposition, tribulation. We start complaining like the Israelites in the Old Testament. Oh God, these manna we don't hate this manna. You're not thankful for God's heavy hand or his discipline. Then you're actually taking God's name in vain because you are accusing God's justice. God's justice is not good. God shouldn't allow this in your life. So complaining also about God's providences, any form of complaint is taking God's name in vain. It's not being thankful for who he is and what he allows in your life, what he has ordained in your life. And then lastly, by not representing God's character perfectly. And I think we're all guilty of this. If you do not bear the fruit of the Spirit perfectly every day, you are actually taking God's name in vain. And I mean, if we look at God's character, and we're not always exhibiting God's character in a perfect way, we are actually guilty of this commandment. And therefore we see, and that's my fourth point, well, we see we stand guilty before God. But this solemn warning, before I come to that, is chapter 20, verse 7 says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." The Bible says we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. God does not hold us guiltless if we do any sin. We are guilty before God. We deserve his wrath. We deserve his justice. We have defamed his character. We have rejected his authority over us. We deserve justice. We deserve to be sentenced for our sins. God will not hold us guilty. God is a just God. God is a holy God. We have misused God's name every day. Not only by our words, by our lives. We have not done what God wanted us to do. And therefore, the Bible says, we will be punished for our sins. King Herod in Acts, people said, the voice of a God, the voice of a God. He didn't honor God, and God struck him down right at the spot. Another time, an Israelite in the first five books, I think it's in Leviticus, blasphemed the name of God, and the people came out and they stoned him with stones. God actually instituted capital punishment for blaspheming the name of God. If that is true in our world today, people will be stoned every day, all over the world. But that's how serious taking God's name in vain is in God's sight. All people will be punished for taking God's name in vain in this life or in the next life. Sometimes immediately, but unless people repent of taking God's name in vain, they will be sentenced to hell and there will be no time for repentance. So the fifth point then is, we stand guilty. We stand guilty. Each one of us. We have, if the name stands for the person and the character of God, which I think it does, the scripture makes it very clear. If it is true that God's name stands for his character, we are all guilty. We are all guilty. If God sentenced us for our sins, we will go to hell. No one is exempt for being innocent when it comes to the third commandment. But then God has given us a name. Acts chapter 12, verse, chapter 4, verse 12 says, there is no other name under heaven among men by which we must be saved. And that name is Jesus Christ. We are not saved by our own works. We're all guilty before God, headed for destruction. But God has given a name by which we must be saved. And that name is Jesus Christ. How wonderful is that? God has given us a name, the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. If we come to Jesus, we will be saved. God has given us a name. And that's that in my last point. How to use God's name carefully. God tells us in Romans chapter 10 verse 13, call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. God will forgive you. God will acquit you for all your evil deeds. God will save you. God will forgive you. God will justify you only through the name of Jesus Christ. He will forgive your sins. Call upon the name of Jesus and you shall be saved. It's a promise of God. Yes, you are guilty, but there are good news. There's good news. God sent His only begotten Son into this world to die for you on the cross, so that if you repent of your sins and you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. You shall be saved. So call upon the name of Jesus. Use the name of Jesus. Call upon Him knowing that the name stands for the person of Christ. It's the person of God. It's who He is. He's the Savior of the world. He's the one who rose from the dead. He's the one who was crucified for the sins of those who would believe. Psalm 50 verse 13 to 15 says, call upon Me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify Me. I love that verse. Call upon Me in the day of distress. Call upon Me in the day of trouble. Call upon Me. I will deliver you, God says, and you shall glorify Me. That's how you use the name of God. Call upon His name. When you are weighed down with your sins, when you can't see forward, you think you have done the unforgivable sin, your sins are too great, call upon the name of Jesus. He will deliver you and you shall glorify Him. That's how to use God's name carefully. For salvation and preservation, we need to call upon the name of Jesus every day when we drive, for protection, for preservation, that God keeps us from sin, from temptation, from the evil one. Call upon the name of Jesus. He is your strength. He is your fortress. He is your shield. He is the strong tower. He is your rock. He is the one who keeps you. He is the one who preserves you until the end. Call upon the name of Jesus. He will preserve you. He will save you. He will sanctify you. Then, use God's name with respect and awe and with full understanding of who God is. Another place in the Bible says that when you pray, don't use a multiplicity of words like the heathen do. Don't use vain repetitions when you pray. Let your words be few, because God knows what you're going to ask before you pray. We've seen so many times when we go to places, people just ramble on. They just continue rambling. When they pray, that's how the heathen prays. God knows already what you're thinking, what you're going to ask. When you pray, use a few words. Because God knows already what you're going to pray. That's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. Use a few words when you pray. Use God's name with respect and awe when you pray. When you talk about Him. Know that when you use His name, you're actually talking about this infinite, unlimited, powerful Creator who is sustaining your every second of breathing and so on. Next, defend God's name. How do we use God's name? When you hear God's name being taken in vain, when you hear people taking His name in vain, when you hear people blaspheming His name, and you have the opportunity there to say something, use that opportunity. Defend God's name. Defend God's name. Stand up for His name. Confess His name before those people. I know it's difficult because you're walking in the world and people are doing that. They're using blaspheming God's name. And I know it's almost impossible always to say something because people are walking past and so on when you're walking in malls or in other places. But when you have the opportunity, defend God's name. Defend God's name in casual conversations and in the workplace where you are working and you hear people are taking His name in vain. Then also, determine to keep the promises you made to God in accordance with His will. If you promise God you will do something, let your yes be yes for God and righteousness. And let your no be no for evil and wicked living. Let your no be no. Let your yes be yes. And fulfill your promises that you made to God. When God saved you out of that difficulty, when He saved you from that sick bed, and you made a promise, God, I will serve You. I will do what You tell me to do. Fulfill your promises. Fulfill your promises to God. Be determined to do what You told God that You will do. Be determined to fulfill your promises. Because God is a faithful God. And we should be faithful as well. Faithfulness is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And that's God expects that of us. And then also repent of unlawful oaths and swearing. When you said something stupid about you will do this for God. But it's not really, it doesn't really go with Scripture. It's just something stupid that you said. Repent of that and God will forgive you. Pray in the name of Jesus. In other words, when you pray, realize that when you use the name of Jesus, you're actually praying according to His character, according to His attributes, according to His goodness and mercy and justice and truth and righteousness and holiness and all the things that He stands for. When you pray, and you use the name of Jesus, no, that's what you are praying. You're praying for the salvation of the lost, for the advancement of God's kingdom, of being protected from the evil one, the Lord's Prayer. You're praying in the name of Jesus, what Jesus stands for, what He represents. That's how what you pray. So pray in the name of Jesus. And that's how God told us to pray, in the name of Jesus. Everything you ask in the name of Jesus, according to His character, God will answer you. He will give you according to His character. And then I think James chapter 3 and the Proverbs also full of that is about our words. When we speak, think before you speak. Weigh your words before you speak. Speak with thoughtfulness. Speak with thoughtfulness. Don't just speak because it's nice to speak, because you're good at speaking. No, speak because you know you will be given account of the words that you've spoken. God said that. And then study to understand, interpret, and apply the word of God correctly. If you are teaching your children or your grandchildren or people in your neighborhood or the Word of God, study to understand the Scriptures in its context. Study to understand, to interpret the Scriptures correctly and to apply the Word correctly. I've been studying the Bible for 20 years and I think I don't know that much really. I have so much more to learn and I'm almost constantly busy with the Bible. But we must keep on helping ourselves by reading the Bible, reading commentaries, reading books, listening to sermons, listening to DVDs to help us understand the Bible better so that we will not take God's word out of context and use His name in vain. Then lastly, live holy and blamelessly, abide in Christ and bear the fruit of the Spirit. That's how we're not going to use His name in vain. only if you live righteously, holy lives, only if you abide in Christ, receiving strength from Him on a daily basis, only if you grow in Christ's likeness, will you be able not to take His name in vain intentionally, and you will become more and more like Jesus Christ. That's the only way not to take His name in vain. So may God help each one of us. May you call upon the name of Jesus. Use His name with respect and reverence. May God help us. Let us pray. Father in heaven, You are a glorious God, and we stand guilty before You. So many times we have prayed thoughtlessly. We have spoken words that we shouldn't have spoken. We have slandered. We have gossiped. We have prayed to You, asking things that we shouldn't have asked. Father, we thank You. There's a fountain filled with blood that we can be washed away from our sins. Father, we thank You that You've given a name by which we must be saved, Your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, forgive us our sins. Forgive us of the times where we've taken Your name in vain, where we have misapplied and misinterpreted Your word. Father, help us to use Your name in the correct way. Help us to call upon You for forgiveness, for salvation, for deliverance, for guidance, and how to teach Your word in the correct way. Father, help us. We need Your grace, Your mercy, Your forgiveness. Thank You that through Jesus Christ we can be forgiven. And help us to live holy lives so that the heathen may not blaspheme Your name because of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.